give the homily for Holy Thursday. Just a couple of announcements. The liturgy of Holy Week is very unique, and by way of explanation, immediately after Mass, we will have the procession of the Blessed Sacrament to the altar of repose. So the servers will precede me, and then the clergy will accompany me, and we will take our Lord in procession down the main aisle, and then we will turn towards the confessional and come up the side aisle, and then our Lord will be brought to the altar of repose. So the altar of repose is supposed to be a side altar set up to glorify our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, but it's also in memory of that night that our Lord was thrown into prison. And so the Catholic faithful are urged to participate in the adoration, and we will keep this going all the way until the Good Friday devotions and liturgy. But we do have a Holy Hour sign-up sheet, so we want to make sure all the hours are covered. But this is in reparation to our Lord and thanksgiving to the Blessed Sacrament, and just to keep company with our Lord to console him in his sufferings and torments. So you will not be going in procession. The first communicants will be part of that. They will be strewing flower petals before the Blessed Sacrament. So it is a shorter procession than we do for 40 hours, and much shorter than the outdoor procession of the Blessed Sacrament we do on Corpus Christi, but to honor our Lord nevertheless. After our Lord has been taken then solemnly to the altar of repose, we will have the stripping of the altars. Practically everything is removed. And then we will close with the hour of compline. And I realize this is all in Latin, but it is the official night prayer of the church. So I would urge you to remain for that. And then that will close the liturgy for today. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend fathers, venerable religious, dear parishioners. Before Mass began, I had the opportunity to just chat a little bit with the altar servers, and we just were reflecting from a personal basis, you know, on the blessings of the Blessed Sacrament. And these are the thoughts that they shared. In our little discussion, we actually had time, which is unusual. Usually our practice takes us pretty much right up to the liturgy, but we had a little bit of time of spiritual reflection. And I'm sure that you would have contributed many of those same inspiring thoughts that they had about the Blessed Sacrament. And one of the things that impresses me so much as we celebrate this night, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, is how much our Lord gave to the apostles and how much he would put up with, so to speak, through all the centuries to come. It truly is beyond comprehension how much our Lord gave to the apostles. He gave them their first Holy Communion. He changed bread literally into his body. He literally changed wine into his blood, where there would be no more bread and no more wine. True, St. Paul says, as often as you shall eat this bread and drink of the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he comes. But he's speaking there metaphorically. In other words, in no way denying that there is no more bread. There is no more wine. It's transubstantiation. But there's more than he did for his apostles. He had the Last Supper with them the night before he was going to be tormented and die for us and redeem us. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you. So he is spending his last few hours of freedom with his beloved apostles. And they don't understand everything, but he loves them anyway. He gives them his own body and blood. By the way, where St. Paul says, you show the death of the Lord until he comes, what does that tell us? That reminds us that Jesus dies in every single Mass. You show the death of the Lord. Now, Jesus physically could die only once, but mystically he dies in every single Mass. That's the essence of the Mass. When that body, or when that bread and wine are transformed, changed into his body and blood, there's a mystical death that happens at every single Mass. And Jesus wants this to be this way till the end of time. You see then how highly we value and esteem the Mass. We can't really highly esteem it enough when we consider what is happening in each Mass. Also remember, be aware of this, that Jesus ordained them priests at the Last Supper. Even Judas. Even the one who unworthily and sacrilegiously would make his first Holy Communion, there's every reason to believe that he was also ordained a priest, given the fullness of the bishop. The fullness of the priesthood. So we could say they became bishops at the Last Supper. Otherwise, how could our Lord then tell them, do this? So he had to give them the power. So it only makes sense that he ordained them to the priesthood. You see then why Holy Thursday is so special to priests. Because we, in our own unworthy way, share in that power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. How unworthy we feel, and yet this is the goodness of Jesus. Yes, Jesus knew that Judas would betray him that night, that he would betray him with a kiss later on in the Garden of Olives. He still loved Judas, but Judas was rejecting all that love. He had fallen already spiritually long before. He had, and this is a cautionary reminder to all of us that we too could fall. Judas could have been Saint Judas Iscariot. But he chose to keep saying no to Jesus. He was saying it in smaller ways, and they became bigger and bigger and bigger. And he, because of his covetousness, he got 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus on Spy Wednesday. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave back then. But he was satisfied. His master could be that price to him, 30 pieces of silver. And we know that he had a terrible end. So again, it's our daily decisions that are the most important ones, the daily decisions to be faithful in the little ways so that we do not have that snowball effect of rolling down the hill and becoming bigger and bigger. So Jesus gives them first Holy Communion. He makes them priests, and then he washes their feet. That was considered back then the ultimate honor to give to a guest, where the master of the house himself gets on his hands and knees and washes the feet of his guests. And back then, there were no paved roads such as we have today. There was not the finer footwear we have today. You're talking about sandals. Often people perhaps just walked barefoot. So how humbling it was to get on one's feet or rather on one, on the ground, on one's knees, and wash the feet. And no wonder St. Peter says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. I'm not worthy. I think all of us would have felt this way, saying this to our Lord. Look at everything you've done for me, and now you want to wash my feet? And when St. Peter says, I don't want it, Jesus says, if you don't allow me to do this one more blessing to you, St. Peter, or Peter, you will lose out on so much more. Then Peter recognizes it in his impulsivity. He says, pour it on, Lord. Put it on my head. Put it on my hands. So the goodness of Jesus shown in the Last Supper, the night when his passion would begin, is beyond our full comprehension. That is for sure. All we can do is try to keep growing in our love for our Lord, return our love to him. True, only certain men are called to the priesthood. That's not for everyone. But for all who believe, Jesus wishes to be the very food and medicine of your soul in every worthy Holy Communion that you receive. He loves you with an infinite love. So we are blessed to be here as we go through Holy Week, reliving the events. But this is more than a reliving. The Mass is the reenactment of what happened that most blessed week. Let us continue to spend it with our Lord, with our Blessed Mother, and let us continually praise him throughout our lives for the blessings that we have received. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.